In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Let's get right to the point. The text for today is a familiar text. Christ speaks this parable to the Jews. He tells them of a man who plants this vineyard and entrusts it to vine dressers. And when he sends his servants to gather the fruit, the vine dressers beat the servants and send them away. In his final recourse, he sends his own son, hoping that they would respect him in order to gather the harvest. However, the vine dressers, rather than treating him with respect, kill him and cast him out of the vineyard. In a tactic that's reminiscent of David and Nathaniel, Jesus gets the vine dressers to condemn themselves in a way. They certainly understand that this parable is addressed towards them. For no one in their right mind would allow such an evil tenant to remain in charge over a vineyard after killing the owner's son. But when Jesus says to them, "Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyards to others." What do they say? They say, "Certainly not. God forbid that this should happen." This goes against every ounce of reason that anybody would possibly have when confronted by the situation, except that they know that this parable is addressed towards them. Having heard the law, the scribes sought to lay their hands on Jesus from this very hour, because they knew he had their number, so to speak. Throughout Scripture, we find this very thing happening over and over again. God sends his prophets to the people, and the people reject them. Even after witnessing great miracles, the people will reject their prophets. The same thing happens in the time of Christ. All but one of the apostles died a martyr's death. Early church history is full of the accounts of those that were killed through martyrdom. The prophets came, and the people rejected them. So why then are we so surprised when these same things happen to us? We fool ourselves into thinking that, with me it's going to be different when I get to the parish. I'm going to get there, I'm going to be so winsome and so wonderful, and I'm going to speak this gospel so clearly that the people will embrace it and love it, and they will love me and my family as well. Fact is, we expect that our first parish will hang on our every word, but all too often, they are ready to hang us by our every word. The Word of God is by nature offensive to sinful man. It works contrary to our sense of reason. It condemns us from the time of our birth and describes even our best attempts as righteousness as filthy rags. The sword, which is the Word of God, cuts us to the marrow and exposes us for the condemned, pathetic creatures that we are like. Nobody likes to hear that, and your congregation won't like to hear that either. To make matters worse, when you get to the parish, we oftentimes like to look to this text to justify our actions. When our congregation objects to the stupid thing we've just done, we like to look at this text and say, "Well, obviously they're coming after me. They do this to all of the prophets." After all, the prophets were treated poorly, and so I will be treated poorly as well. But when that happens, I would admonish you to check your doctrine carefully to make sure that you are right. And if you are wrong, make sure you are the first one to admit your mistake. But even when you are right, don't beat them over the head with the truth. Don't cram the gospel down their throat and cram the law down their throat to make them understand. We have to bring our people along slowly and carefully and gently. This is why the liberals are beating us. It's because they were so patient They took 20, 30, 40 years to bring their congregations along to liberalism. It doesn't happen overnight. But just as we should be patient with our people, God is faithful and patient with us. You will not be a perfect pastor. I hate to burst your bubble. You will say the wrong thing at the wrong time. You will be seen with the wrong people. You will make all sorts of mistakes. And yet God will work through you and in you and with you. In spite of yourself, God's will shall be done. The times when you think that you've failed, you will find that God has triumphed. For the scripture assures us that in weakness we will find strength. God has this habit of using the least likely to carry out his will. The prophets were chief among those. They were all full of faults. We look at the life of Noah. We look at Lot. We look at Moses. We look to David, Peter, and Paul, just to name a few. Although Paul considered himself to be the chief of sinners, God used him to spread the gospel from generation to generation throughout the world. My friends, your sins are forgiven by the grace of God through faith in Christ. You have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. You have been declared innocent because of this servant that was set into the vineyard and killed by his own servants. This message is for you and for your children, that you have been declared innocent because of Christ. In spite of all the hardships that a pastor has to endure, the privilege of proclaiming this gospel is worth it all. Even when your pietist congregation is ready to run you out of town because you've quote-unquote preached too much gospel. In our text for today, the Jews were confronted by the law. Their sin was exposed, and as a result, they sought to kill Jesus. They understood that their time at the helm was over. In the parish, when you preach law and gospel, you will make people mad. Expect that some people won't like you. Expect that some might even hate you and despise you. However, don't let this give you license to cram pure doctrine down their throats. Feed it to them gently and carefully and patiently, that they might grow in the word. Be patient with your congregation as God is patient with you. As many times as you sin, God forgives you. As many times as you confess to God, he washes away your iniquities through the blood of Christ. As many times as you come to the altar, you receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. By virtue of your baptism, you died with Christ, were buried with Christ, and have been raised again to newness of life. My friends, be patient and preach the word always to your people, that they might know this truth, and the truth shall set them free. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.